Whoops.
Well, I posted some stuff on Facebook that you would have absolutely loved. I'll tell you that. Okay, good to see you all. I was driving in today and I was thinking, maybe we should have waited another week. All that traffic. Oh, man. Just don't like all that. All right. Okay. Try to get my head together here and look at what we're going to do. It's nice to see you out all tonight and probably tape in the Olympics. I taped it for Helen because it said figure skating. And I know she wants to watch figure skating. Yes. Mark. Okay, I went on the computer and typed up some new notes. You'll probably find errors in them if you look hard enough because they're not inspired. And always have to remember that it's only the scriptures that are God-breathed. And they're just notes to help focus on.
The rain and the warm weather made all the difference.
That
wasn't Sunday.
Oh, did you say you had service Sunday?
No.
Did anybody show up?
I was out there.
I didn't know about it.
Was it Sunday? I was pushing one of my neighbors. Oh, anyway. Couple things. We have great opportunities to live out the Christian life in the world that we live in. I had to push a woman in the snow that was one of our neighbors in our new development. And it's funny how they know what they're doing is probably not acceptable, but they do it anyway. And here the woman is probably, I would say, at least 75, maybe older. And she had come down and she got stuck on the hill in front of my house. So I went out there and I helped push her. And then she said, I drove all the way from Portland. I haven't been here. She lives across the street from me. And she says, I'm in Portland most of the time because I'm living with my boyfriend. And I went, oh, how nice. But here, you usually don't think the older generation, 75 to 80, is, you know, like doing that kind of activity. But she was just that, and then she looked at me and she realized and she said, well, we're probably going to get married. And, you know, and this, and I'm going, oh man, well, why don't you now? Let's see, what else can I tell you? On the news, I've been thinking about these things. Another thing that's developing that's very interesting, and there's no time setting. We can't set dates. Just an interesting fact that Forbes magazine has, which got our president very unstable. Forbes magazine went and named the most powerful leader in the world as, anybody guess? It's not Obama. Putin. Russia. Putin. They said, and then they went through why, and they listed all the things that he does, and then they listed things that he just doesn't care about. He doesn't care about human rights. He doesn't care about anything like that. He's sick and tired of the West telling him about human rights and how he should act. He said it's none of their business. All he cares about is industry, money, power. And that's what he wants. And Russia's back. That's what he said. But they showed the president was not happy with Forbes' thing. What I wanted to show you is that he is a very powerful man, and it's interesting. And he kept, was it the Ukraine and those other nations from joining the European common market? Kept them out. So it's just interesting because I was telling Helen, if we were to be raptured, let's say tonight, Putin would be Gog of Ezekiel. He would be Gog. So I was telling her, you could be maybe looking at Gog of Magog, who's going to come down against Israel. And they just said he's the most powerful man in the world. And he's uniting that block, which he's going to bring with him down against Israel. So it's interesting. It's interesting when I look at it. I said, well, if the rapture occurs, that's Gog. Unless he gets assassinated and somebody else comes in. That, I guess, possible. Anyway, off the topic. Just interesting things. We're studying fullness. And we've been looking at the word fullness that's found in the book of Colossians. And we're up to Colossians 2:10. And I typed you up some notes. So let's... I might cough now and then. It's just a little tickle on the back of my throat. I'm not sick, I don't think. Father, thank you for this time together. We appreciate your word. And we thank you that we can look at your word. And with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can actually be taught what it says. And then we can have understanding where we utilize the mind of Christ and these things are put together and we could see the big picture. And yes, we can believe the things that need to be believed, and we can reckon the things that need to be reckoned, and we can live as those who are correct in the dispensation of grace, the one by faith. We thank you for this opportunity to handle the word and to be together again. In Christ's name, amen. Colossians chapter 2, if you're not there yet, verse 9. It says, for in him, we covered this verse, in him, that's in Christ personally, dwelleth all of the fullness. There's our word we've been studying. We looked at this word. It's to fill up, to be completely full, where there's nothing more that you can add to it. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So what we discussed in that is in the incarnation as the Son of God joined himself to a human nature, in that human nature is a physical body. And as his divine person was joined to a human nature, he did not lose any of his divinity at all. He's completely all the fullness of him as a divine person, being able to use all of that fullness as the divine person, used the divine nature, he could do all of that even as he was bodily resident, bodily on earth. He, the Son of God, did not lose any of that fullness. He had all of it. So when we sing, Oh, Can It Be, that song, by the way, I like that song, but I'm going to smash it a little bit, but it's a song I like. Oh, can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? In there it says, emptied himself of all but love. Well, that's incorrect. It didn't say he emptied himself, that he lost all of his divine power. No, in him, bodily, was all the fullness of the, as a divine person, he didn't lose any of it. Now, why am I saying that? Now we come to verse 10. Let's read that. And ye are complete in him. That word complete is the same word that's translated fullness, pleroo, in the 9th verse. It's the same way, same word. So it says, and ye are complete in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. We're going to go through that, the rule and authority, that section of the verse another time. If we can just get full through that first part, I'll be very happy tonight. So it says, so in your introduction on your notes, what I put there is the established biblical doctrine. I really struggled over that word, whether I was going to put doctrine, fact, or something. And I said, well, some people don't like the word doctrine. Maybe I'll put the word teaching, because doctrine and teaching are the same word. So if someone says to you they don't like doctrine, what they mean is they don't like teaching. They're the same word. And so I chose, I'm going to use the offensive word, so I put doctrine on my notes. So it says, the biblical doctrine that a Christian is at any present state of time, having been made complete or made the fullness in Christ, is not taught. That doctrine is not taught, it's not believed, and it's not utilized by most churches today. This doctrine is so important, this concept, this statement that's made in, and ye are complete, or I'm going to give you another translation of it, and you have been made the fullness in him. You have been made the fullness. You are at any time made the fullness, being made the fullness by another in him, is not taught. It's not believed. It's not utilized by Christians. Thus, what do we have? Because they don't teach this, they don't understand it, we are left with endless legalistic work systems. I was thinking about this today while I was watching the Olympics a little bit this afternoon. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking of a hamster. For some reason, Jeff told us a story last weekend about, it was his hamster that he had to bring, he brought to a vet to have put down. I said, I would have put it down real easy. But Jeff couldn't do it, and his hamster had some bowel problems, and its intestines was coming out and all, and it had to be taken care of, but he couldn't do it, so he brought it to a vet to take care of business. But get a big rat trap. But I thought about, I think he had a gerbil or a hamster or something, but I was thinking of them in the cage, and these people make up all these legalistic systems that they have for Christians, and the Christians are like hamsters in a cage. And I was thinking of the little wheel, and they run around and around in the wheel. Well, it keeps them busy, but they don't go anywhere. They're just going round and round in the wheel. And then I was thinking of those, we got those little toys one year for our kids where the little hamster or whatever runs through these tracks and it gets tangled in the girls' hairs and stuff, and there was all those lawsuits. But the little hamster that runs through the tracks, and they have mazes, and the little thing runs through the maze. So here's these legalistic systems that either run in a wheel or run through a maze, and it just gets you running around doing a lot of stuff, but you don't really get anywhere, you don't really accomplish anything, it doesn't change anything, you just go through a lot of energy. And then there's a hamster who breaks out of the cage and he's free, and everybody in the house is running around, where's Willie? Is he underneath there? But the hamster's happy as can be, he's free, and he's running around as a little rodent in your house wherever he can go, and he's free. Christians have freedom in Christ. And we can utilize this, that we have been made complete. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to try to earn our salvation. It's there. It's complete. We've been made the fullness in him. So this verse is so important. So I put, there's endless work systems, clouds of unscriptural guilt. Because of the work systems, you're always guilty. Am I doing enough? Maybe I should have been doing that. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. How can I get God to be pleased with me here and there? And they're always so defeated. And that's what I put. Immature, defeated Christians. Should be an ED on the end of defeat. It flourishes. And it dishonors. It dishonors the gracious Heavenly Father, the Father who supplied everything graciously to the Christian in Christ. It dishonors him. How does it dishonor him? It dishonors him because that's not what he established for us. And we blaspheme him. Well, if we were to develop these work systems that we have to try to earn this completeness, it's a blasphemy to God. So we're dishonoring the gracious Heavenly Father. We're dishonoring the work of Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're dishonoring all three persons. Colossians 2:10 communicates a constant Christian completeness provided graciously by the triune God. You are complete in him. I had a friend who's with the Lord right now. And he used to write this on his books all the time, this verse. Colossians 2:10 to 9 and 10 sometimes he wrote. But this is one of the sections where he liked to think about. If you look at me, I write a lot of times Philippians 3:10 through 14. But my friend who's with the Lord, he put Colossians 2:10. He liked this verse. It's so, if you understand it, it expresses the completeness, the fullness, that's what it says, that we have in Christ. And it's done by someone else. It's a passive voice. So let's look at this verse. The first thing I put in your notes here, we're going to digest this, go through this. It says, and you. You. So the first part of this verse, Colossians 2:10a, is and you. Now that word and is a conjunction. It's a conjunction that's tying it back to verse 9. Verse 9 says that in him dwelt all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So it's looking at the fullness of Christ, the completeness of Christ. And now it says, and you have been made the fullness in him. This conjunction is tying it right back to verse 9. And so Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and all the fullness, we already discussed this, of the Godhead, always is settled down and complete in him bodily. The Colossians had a problem. They thought that, some of them thought that material things, flesh, was evil. And so they had a problem with that. And so Paul is hitting this home right now, that in the Son of God became man. He joined his person to a human nature. And in that human nature is a body. And so it wasn't God with a man. It is the God-man. And in him bodily as the God-man was all this fullness of the Godhead. He didn't lose any of his deity whatsoever. Now it says, if you can grab your mind partially around the fact that all of that fullness of him as deity, the Son of God, was bodily walking around, resident here on earth, was in his body, that now if you think of that fullness of him as he performed the miracles, as he forgave sins. Who can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Well, hello, get a clue. I am. And unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. I'm deity. So if you can grasp that and how full that is and complete that is, then try to grab your mind that that and is now flowing through to them. You also are bodily, but by imputation in Christ, you have been made complete and full in him. You have been made the fullness in him. Now, I was trying to think of the King James Version took this word fullness that's in verse 9, and what did they translate it in verse 10? Complete. They're similar, but it's not identical. I was thinking about this. I was just trying to run through my mind and grasp it. What's the difference between complete and full? They sound pretty similar. I may have a jigsaw puzzle, and if I was selling it, let's say at a garage sale, and it's in the box, and you came up, you would say to me, is the puzzle complete? What do you mean? Are all the pieces there? Okay. Yeah, it is looking at the fact of completeness that all the pieces are there. Now this word fullness, as we've been looking at it, means that it's right up to here, and if you couldn't add another drop, because if you needed another drop, it would overflow. That's this word fullness. Yes, it's complete. That's in there. But this is looking at capacity. When you start looking at fullness, you're looking at capacity. That the capacity is right up there. So you might have a little complete puzzle. You might have a big complete puzzle. But here it's looking at in him, in Christ, in the resurrected, glorified one that you're imputed into, you are in capacity full. I don't know if I'm getting that across. It's not this that you're complete, but it's emphasizing complete fullness. It's a completely full. It's a complete capacity. All the capacity of being in Christ, of what the Father imputes of those who are in Christ, is full capacity. There's nothing lacking. So to give an illustration, if we look at Mark, as God the Father looks at Mark in Christ, he's at full capacity just as Orin is at full capacity in that imputation in Christ. We are both completely full up to the same complete level. I don't know if I'm getting it. It's completely full at the whole capacity of what in Christ is. That capacity is full. So it says, and ye. Ye is interesting here. It's a singular. And ye are. You are. It's a singular. And you are. So it's looking at, this is interesting when you look at it then and you start breaking down the language. It's looking at each individual is complete. So Mark is complete. Orin is complete in him. Richard is complete in him. Helen, go around the room and name off every one of you who have believed. We are filled to the capacity and by imputation, each one of us as an individual. Every one of us individually is imputed the same in him. And what is that imputation? Absolutely, completely full. Completely full in that imputation. We all are seen the same in Christ. The same. Yes?
I just listened to you. I was thinking about, is that related to our adoption as sons?
I'm going to get to that. I have that in. It's not in your notes. It's, yes, it is in your notes. It's down under complete. But yes, you had a statement on that? Go ahead. I don't mind catching up.
I was listening to it. I thought about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely. I thought of that too. Okay. So we are complete. I'm building to that. And it's each individual. Now why? Because you can read some people, and some people will start talking about Christians who can lose their salvation. And you're not that. And what they'll do is they'll say, well, the Christ is complete. But the individual could be in or out and not complete. But that's not what this is saying. This is saying that ye, individual, ye are complete in him. Each one of you as an individual is complete. It's not looking at the completeness of the Christ. The completeness of the Christ, yeah. In the imputation, it is complete. But it's not looking at that. It's looking at that in as Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and God the Father, let me get my right hand, as God the Father looks at his right hand at Christ who's seated there, he in the Father's mind, God's mind, looks at me in Christ and imputes me, sees me, reckons me, accounts to me, whatever you want to say, logizomai, that's what that word is, to logically count to be true. He logically counts to be true everyone who has believed in Christ and baptized into Christ as being in him, and he sees us all, ye as individuals, complete in that capacity, full at his right hand. Now down here on earth, that's another story. Down here on earth, we have different levels of maturity, different levels of growth, different maturity. But in him, which is my future, he sees my future and counts it to be true up there at his right hand now. It is completely full to the capacity of what the Christ is. Okay. All right, so ye is single, each individual, we covered that. So, and you, all right. Second word, are complete. The construction here is an interesting construction. It's the construction is a Greek perfect periphrastic. What in the world does that mean? Well, you have a participle and a present state of being verb with the participle that's in the perfect tense. But what does that mean? What it means is that here's Oren standing here, and you have the R, the indicative lewd R, right now, at this place in time, at this time, right here. It's saying that back here in the past, there was some point where Oren was made complete. And from that point, at some time in the past where he was made complete, right up to this present time, right now, while I'm standing here, I'm still complete. So that perfect periphrastic, I got to add one more point to that. That perfect periphrastic is saying that I was made this completeness in the past with the present result right now that I am still complete. What is that? So that's so cool. Because that verse is saying is, you know, when Oren looks back at some of his past, okay, let me see, sometime back here, I don't know when it was, around 1990, 1991, Oren was kind of a stinker. And it was sometime in there. I tend to not to want to remember. He was carnal. Then, that was pretty bad. That was a horrible time. Then there was a time, I don't know, 2000 and something. I was with Helen when I given you the illustration where I was late and I got so angry and I hit the steering wheel of the dashboard and I was going, argh! I was carnal then too. My mind was not on things above. Definitely not. And so back then, it's not too goody. But you see, in the past, I was made complete with the present results that right now, I'm still complete. I'm still complete. All of this other garbage that happened here didn't change the imputation of God the Father of me in Christ one bit. Didn't change it. I was made the fullness there, and right now, up to the present, I am still the fullness. And these other events that happen here did not change that imputation of God in Christ. Didn't change it. I still am right now just as full as when I was made, when I believed back here. I'm still the fullness. By the way, can you see how many churches are preaching all of this garbage that's putting legalistic systems and guilt systems on people where they're trying to lift themselves up, earn their own salvation? Doesn't work here with this verse. By the way, I put on your notes, this construction is very, it's the same kind of construction that's found in Ephesians 2:8. What does Ephesians 2:8 say? For by grace have you been saved in the past, with the present results that right now you're saved by grace. Right now you're saved by grace. Same construction. Okay, let's go on. So B says the Christian is always presently complete in Christ. So at any present time right now, the Christian is complete, made the fullness, based on the completeness that was established in the past. That's what the perfect does. It goes back to the past. But the emphasis is on the present. You are right now. The periphrastic is the participle. The perfect looks back to some time in the past with the present results that it's still ongoing true. But the emphasis is right now you're complete. So, so it was established in the past. Let's look at some things. First of all, Ephesians 1:5, I put in your notes. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him. This is God the Father. Anybody know what that word chosen is? It's a nice softened word for another word that people just get red flags. It's like if you raise a red flag in front of a bull and he wants to go. That word chosen is the same word as what? Elect. Okay? So if you say elect, they get mad. But if you say chosen, they go, okay. It's like baseball. I got chosen. Okay? That's what they think. But this is election. God determined. He elected us. He chose us in Him. So we were chosen in Him, in Christ. We were chosen. We weren't chosen to be in Christ. We were chosen in Him, in Christ. So in God's mind, He elected us in this position. He chose you that way. He chose you as that way. By the way, that's our future. Our future. He wants us, as He imputes us to be in this full capacity right now that He sees us in Christ, that's our future. At the rapture, I will be that. And what did He do? This verse tells me that in the past, He elected me. He chose me in Him that way. So somebody asked me a question about a week and a half ago and said, why do our memories going to be erased where we're not going to remember everything? Because God chose us. God the Father chose us to be complete in Him this way. That's the way He chose us. He doesn't want us to be thinking about all of this crud. He wants us to be thinking of who He elected us and chose us in that capacity. He chose us in Him, that way, in Him. That's the way He wants us. That's the way we will be in the future. That's the way we're going to function through eternity. That way, according to this capacity and fullness, that's the way we will be. We don't need to remember, okay, 1990. Woo, let's forget that. Oh, 2000 and whatever, taking Helen to a meeting. I don't need to remember that. I remember it now. And the reason I tell you is because I want you to know a couple of things. One of all, one thing I want you to know is I am not perfect. The second thing I want you to know is I know I'm not perfect. Okay.
That's
and Helen, that was a given. His dad used to say all the time, anybody who thinks they're perfect without any more need of maturity, ask their wife. That's what he used to say. Yeah, that settles it. When you live with someone, they know. They know. Okay. Let's go on. We didn't get to verse 5. He elected us in Him before the foundation of the world. So before He made, before, I think Richard said this 2 weeks ago, before Genesis 1:1, we were already elected in Christ. Before that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before that, we were already chosen. How? In Him. Okay? That we are to be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having marked off the boundaries, predestinated praharazo, to mark off the boundaries of us unto the placement of sons. That word adoption is terrible, and I've heard such terrible messages on this, that we used to be Satan's child, but then God the Father adopted us. Oh, baloney! And that's really saying it nicely. Okay? What a bunch of baloney! I am placed as a son. This word adoption means to place as a son. I am really a son in Christ. But not only that, this is talking about the placement of sons. I'm going to switch gears. I'm telling you I'm switching gears. In their analogy, they're totally wrong because I am really God's born one. It says God the Father's seed is in me, remains in me. I am His legitimate born one. It says if I was illegitimate, He wouldn't chasten me. But back here when Oren was a scoundrel, he was chastened. And that shows me I'm God's child. We'll get on to that. But so I am, to show you their analogy of this, that I used to be the devil's child, but then God adopted me. No, he didn't. I am born again. I am his child. But this verse is emphasizing that I am his son. That means I have a position of privilege at his right hand. So he elected me in Christ, and then he marked off the boundaries. No matter what happens through all of this, the boundaries are set. Let's put it this way. No matter where I'm going as a son. He marked off the boundaries. No matter where Oren's going, once he chose me in him, he then in the decree marked, that word predestinated means he marked off the boundaries. And the boundaries is, what am I going as? A son. To the placement of sons. So I'm going to be placed as a son. Turn with me to Romans 8:15. I got to write Ray, right? Yes. See, we're online. Okay, Romans 8:15, it says here, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of, now we have a bad translation again. What's this word adoption mean? To place a son. So we've received the spirit that places us as a son. So God elected us back in eternity past, before the foundation of the world. He chose us in him, in Christ. But how did we actually get into Christ? By the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures, the third day rose again bodily. What they buried was his body. What arose was him with his body. So we believe for the correct purpose of having our sins forgiven and being with the Father. For the correct purpose, we believe that. The Holy Spirit does a wonderful thing. He takes us and baptizes us into Christ. What in the world does that mean? Some people say it means you get dunked in the water and you're wet. No, it's spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit begins to initiate where I was seen in Adam, imputed in Adam. In God's mind, I'm imputed in the old man Adam. Now the Holy Spirit says, in God's mind, that's where imputation is. In God's mind, it means to logically count to be true. The Holy Spirit initiates a thinking in God's mind that says, Oren has believed, he's no longer in the old man. The old man is put off by the Spirit. I am placed into the new man, Christ. And being placed into the new man, Christ, God now no longer sees me in the old man, but he sees me in Christ. So it's the spirit of placement of sons. How was Oren placed as a son? Not adopted into God's family, placed as a son. How was he placed as a son? By the spirit of son placing. The spirit of son placing. The Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit initiated a thinking in God's mind where God the Father then says, yes, I impute Oren in Christ. So in time, in eternity past, I was elected in Christ. In time, by the Holy Spirit, by the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit, I'm actually placed as a son. Okay, I'm chosen as a son in eternity past. Follow it. But when am I placed as a son? In God's mind, when I believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit placed me in Christ where God the Father imputes me in Christ. I have a new position of privilege. Romans 8:23. And not only creation, not they, and not only creation, but ourselves also who have the first fruit, not fruits, the first fruit, consisting of or from the Spirit, consisting of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the what? What are we waiting for right now? The placement of sons. See the word adoption again? It's another. It means son placing. The placement of sons, that is the redemption of our body. So now I was elected and chosen as a son in Christ, in Him. I was then received the spirit of placement of sons. The Spirit of God placed me as a son. Let me put it that way. When I believed the gospel, I was placed as a son by the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. But now as I'm imputed, what am I waiting for? What am I getting older and older? And I look, I go out there and I shoveled some snow. Helen put some pictures of me out there shoveling snow. I said, get to work, old man, out there trying to shovel. When I got done shoveling the snow, this shoulder hurt, this shoulder hurt. I went, oh, my back. I need to do this more often. She says, well, if you lifted weights and stuff, you probably wouldn't ache as much. I think that's a quote, isn't it? Pretty close. Okay. Not in that tone. No, she didn't. She said it very sweetly, as all wives do. Okay, and so she told me that I shouldn't be as lazy and I should get... oh, you didn't say that? Okay, that's my interpretation of what she said. Oh, we can't judge motives. Okay, yes.
There's a thing, you know, when you use the English word adoption, it's kind of hard for me to understand, you know, for years.
Yeah.
Can you say something about the maybe the difference between adoption as we know it and adoption in the Bible?
I would go back to the, you're a student of the word, so I would say in your case, I would just go to the Greek and look at the word. And the Greek word means to placement of sons, to place a son. So that's what I was trying to summarize. Yes, Richard?
Yeah, that word, that Greek word could be used by your blood kin. That's what we call them bar mitzvah.
Okay, yeah, to place a son at a bar mitzvah.
So you don't bar mitzvah the neighbor's kid.
Yeah. But I would,
so
that's like at a...
gave an example, I think, last Sunday.
Yeah.
His granddaughter, she's of the same. He didn't use fullness or completeness, but I think he said spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
He uses granddaughter's example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So something like that. We're saved, we're born again, but he doesn't see us as little children.
No, he sees us. That's what I'm getting at in all this. What he sees us as, yeah, is complete, full in Christ. Where I am here maturing, I'm maturing to what he sees me at here. I'm going to get to that later in the note. But this is the standard. That's what he sees me. That's my future. And so what I've been looking at this word to place as a son. So what I was trying to get at with these verses is he chose me to be this complete in fullness. He chose me in him. In him, this fullness, this completeness. He chose me in that in eternity past. He elected me. He chose me in eternity past. In that completeness. I actually didn't get placed in this fullness and completeness until the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit where he placed me as a son in Christ. So, using his illustration, like a bar mitzvah, the Jewish father will bring his child up and he'll say, today my boy is a man. Today he's to count it in the prayer groups. He's to be done all of this. He's placed as a son in our meeting. We did that immediately when we believed the gospel. That's the whole key here. And I didn't get to the passive yet. Immediately when we believed the gospel, in God's mind, we were placed in that full capacity. Now down here on earth, I may mature and grow to that. That's the standard that I keep on looking. That's Philippians 3:10 through 14. That's the standard I look to, I race to, I run to. But in God's mind, I am full. I am complete. He chose me that way in the past. The Holy Spirit placed me into Christ and I was imputed by the Father when I believed the gospel. I am complete. I have that fullness. What I'm doing in Romans 8:23 now is when I get raptured and I have the redeemed body, my body is changed and I'm glorified. My body is changed and I'm glorified. Then I'm going to be placed as, in other words, what I'm seen and is imputed is in now. I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ now, and in God's mind I'm seen this way. When I have the redemption of my body, when at the rapture I am changed, I am glorified, I am going to be just as I am imputed. I will be placed as a son then, where I'm actually am what I am seen or imputed to be in Christ now, will be my actual state. My actual state is I will be all of that fullness. I will be all of that capacity and completeness when my body is redeemed. I'll be placed as a son. See that there? 23? Any questions? Okay. Verse 19 in Romans. Trying to stay in Romans. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the... Now it doesn't say adoption anymore, but now it says what word? Manifestation. This is where it becomes apparent. It becomes evident to creation. So it's saying creation is looking for when the sons of God are going to be manifested as sons. Now this is a cool verse, because at the rapture, when I get raptured and my body is redeemed and I'm glorified and I meet Christ in the air, that's going to be a quick and sudden event and I'm gone. I'm leaving this earth. So people are just going to say, adios, or, and we don't see him anymore. He's gone. I think they're going to be so filled up with the delusion, they're not going to give much thought to Warren. But I'm going to be gone. Do they really see me as a son? See, you go around today and you say, I'm a son of God. They're saying, you look like Orin. I say, yeah, but I am God's son. I'm his child. I'm a born one of God, and I have a place of position in the heavenlies next to God the Father. I am his son. I have a position of privilege with God. I can actually pray for you, buddy. I can intercede. You can't. You don't have an entrance. Then they get mad.
What do we call those people who aren't chosen?
We call them unelect. We call them unsaved. We call them, I don't know.
They're not of the devil.
Well, we're getting into another topic. There's two families. There's God's family and there's Satan's children. So you're either a born one, of Satan, or you're a born one of God. So there's only one or the other. So and I'm hedging on your question because so before Orin was saved and believed the gospel, I was a child of the devil. But then when I was born again, I became a born one of God. So there can be people out there right now that are going to be saved, but we don't know who they are. So they will become the children of God. So I don't know who they are. One preacher said if the elect, I don't know who it was, you probably remember, if the elect had white stripes on their back, he said, I would just be lifting up shirts. And looking for the ones with the white stripe that was on it. I forgot who that was. But this is a preacher. He was preaching once, and he was telling how he preaches the gospel, and it's true to all men because Christ died for all men, but all won't believe, but the elect will. So he said if the elect had white stripes, he'd lift up their shirts to look for the stripe. But they don't. We don't know who they are. The Holy Spirit does. And so the Holy Spirit can lead you. But now we're off the topic. But I don't know if that answers. The First John tells you there's the children of the devil that are manifested and the born ones of God are manifested. There's only one or the other. But you can leave the one and get into the other. Another man who, it was his dad used to tell me all the time. He said, while there's life, there's still hope. That's what he used to say to me sometimes. So in other words, you may have an unbelieving son, daughter, relative right now, but while they're still alive, there's still a possibility they may believe. You don't know. So anyway.
But that person could be of God?
They could be elect. They could be ones who were chosen.
Is of God. Now, if they're unbelieving, or they are of
They could be unbelieving who in eternity past God chose in Christ, but God knows who they are in his mind.
Right.
But we don't. I'll put it another way. There's people who are walking around today and they're saying they are born again and they are Christians. And I don't know. I look at some and I say, well, I don't know. You know, looking at you, I have, you know, my doubts. But Paul even said that. He said, one thing stands sure. The foundation of God stands sure. God knows those that are his. I think is the way it says. So sometimes we have to leave it. You know, I don't know if you're saved or not. You say you are, but it's kind of shaky. You know, the things that you're saying to me are not in keeping with the hair. So I don't want to keep, I want to get back to my lesson.
So a child before they're saved, their father is Satan. It's the devil.
Correct.
I just want to clarify. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to not be saved because of something you didn't do. God is not going to allow them to die until they become saved. If they're elect.
Right. If they're elect, they won't die and go to hell. No. 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 No, they'll be saved. Okay. We're off the topic. I can get way off on this because there's so many rabbit trails that are going here with what you're asking me, and I don't, because I thought what she was going to bring up is, what if a child dies before he believes? Can, now you're getting into another avenue, can the work of Christ be applied to an infant who can't believe? Well, we have one instance in Scripture where a child is saved, and it was from birth, so... How could they have believed what that dispensation had to believe? I'm off the topic. Let's get back to this. So there's a whole lot we can talk about here, but I want to keep focus on this. Okay, so where was I up to? Oh, the manifestation of the sons of God. So the manifestation of the sons of God is when we come back with Christ to this earth. So the rapture occurs where we're placed as sons, where we actually are changed in our glorified, redeemed bodies. We're actually changed, and we're going to be to this full capacity and placed as sons then, okay? Where we're placed then at the rapture. We actually, there's no more imputation. Imputation's done. We are it at the redemption of our body. But then God is going to manifest, make it apparent, show us off that we're the sons of God. When's he going to do that? Well, when Christ comes back on the white charger with all of his saints, do you know who they are? Us. So we're coming back to this place, and all of the stinkers who did us dirty and all of that, now I'm going to have a redeemed mind, changed, and I probably am going to be thinking that way. Maybe I will. I don't know. But I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to this place, and this old junkyard that I left is going to be renovated and cleaned up, and I'm going to be manifested as a son of God. There's going to be things that I will participate in and do things that are going to show forth my sonship, this fullness that we have in Christ as a son. I will be manifesting at the second coming when we come to earth. Okay. So let's get back to my notes, letter C. This is a passive perfect periphrastic. Thus this completeness in Christ is performed by another. Now the passive If you get out your Greek grammars or whatever you want, the passive means that someone else is acting upon you. That's all it means. It means anything else you have to get from the context. A Greek passive means someone else is acting upon you. The active voice means I'm doing the action. The action is being done. The middle voice means I'm doing the action. That's all it means. The passive voice means someone else is acting upon me. This completeness and fullness is something that was done by another. So in the past, when I believed the gospel, someone else acted upon me that caused this fullness and completeness to come about. Well, I've already showed you three people. The triune God is what I put in your notes. I wanted to show you a little verse real quick. Matthew 28:18. When you baptize someone, now we're looking at water baptism, not spirit baptism. Is everybody with me? Water baptism is different than spirit baptism. Now, when we do water baptism, in verse 18 it says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority, that word power is authority, all authority is given unto me, that means the Father gave it to him, in heaven and upon earth. Go ye is a mistranslation. It's totally mispreached. I know when I was first saved, I was ready to go off to Bangladesh. I never made it there, but I was going to go. I was going to work in a hospital with Dr. Olson, with ABWE, and was all set to go. And one of the reasons was is this verse, go, go, go. But it doesn't say that. It says, having been made to go. You see, when we get saved, and here he's talking to the apostles, they were made to go. They didn't have a choice in it. He didn't take them to heaven. He says, where I go, you can't go. He's talking to the apostles here. And he's saying, you can't go where I'm going. And the same with you. When you believed, you didn't go right home to heaven. You're here. So he's telling these apostles, having been made to go, he's talking to the 11 apostles, verse 16, therefore, having been made to go, teach, the word is to disciples, make believers of all Gentiles. Boy, isn't that interesting? That here Christ, as he's ascending, tells them to go to the Gentiles. Did they?
He knew they would go to the Gentiles.
So he tells them, go to all Gentiles. Then there were nations can be Gentiles. And then what? Baptizing them. And why I came here is, when they were told to baptize, who are they to baptize? This word baptize in the name, it's a singular, it's not plural. Don't baptize them in the plural names. That's the way most people understand this. Baptize them in the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they think it's a title that we announce over it, and it's like pixie dust that makes you some kind of super, glowing person because you're baptized in the plural name. Thanks for disrupting my class, Richard. And so, I'm having fun tonight. We haven't been together, so you can tell. So it's the singular name. The singular name. Do you see that? It doesn't have an S on the end. Baptize them in the one singular name that is what? Belongs to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all deity. Who is our God? Who is our Savior? Who's the one who's saving us? It's the triune God. And we've already discussed this. Who chose us in Christ in eternity past? Who elected us? Who chose us in Christ? The Father did. We were elected in Him before the foundation of the world. We were elected in Him, this fullness, this completeness. We were elected in Him by the Father. So the Father is involved in it. Who else? Well, certainly God the Son is. Who are we baptized into? Christ. Who's the one who's our substitute? Christ. Who's the one who gave Himself on behalf of our sins? The Son, Christ. So Jesus Christ is our Savior. Who are we baptized into? Christ. So He's our Savior. But if you didn't have the Holy Spirit who convinces you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit who gives us the gift of faith to believe, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit who places us into Christ by the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit, you would not have the work of Christ applied to you. So the Holy Spirit is our Savior, because Christ could have died for, the Father could have chose us, Christ could have went and died and been resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father. But unless you're baptized into Christ, His work is not applied to you. You are not imputed in Him by the Father. You have to have the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of placement of Son. So the Spirit is our Savior also. He's the one who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's the one who gives us the gift of faith. He's the one who places us in Christ. And the work of Christ is then applied to us by the Spirit. So, the passive here. We've been made complete. Yeah, if I look at the direct person who did it, the Holy Spirit. If I look at the ultimate source, God the Father. If I look at the one who's the agent who provided it, the intermediate agent, God the Son. I still have a minute or two. But the Holy Spirit's the one who directly does it. So it's a passive. The triune God is our Savior. How much do I have? 6 minutes? I look at that clock, I got hours.
If you look at me, I can watch the tape.
Here's the timer. Okay, I think we're going to end here at E, though. I'll just want to do this. This completeness is new. It's only provided to the New Testament saint, not to anyone else, not to Moses, not to Daniel, not to Isaiah, not to any of those people that you read of in Hebrews 11 that says the world was not worthy of them. And that's true. When I look at some of those guys, I say, wow. Who's the guy that was to eat dung?
Ezekiel,
I don't know, one of them says to lay and eat human dung. And then he said, come on, Lord, I can't eat human dung. And he said, okay, eat cow dung. I still wouldn't want to eat cow dung. I wouldn't. How'd you like to go in a city and make little mud houses and stuff and then act like a complete idiot in the middle of, let's say, New York City, Times Square? There they are. You make little mud houses, then run around and jump on them and smash them all down. Okay, that's the kind of things they did. How would you like to run for your life and go into a log and then have somebody saw you in sunder while you're in the log? That's what these guys did. But they don't have this. Do they don't have it because we're better than they are? No. It's that God, remember the passive voice? God provided it. It was provided by someone else. And someone else provided it. It's not because we're better, but because God has given us a better salvation, not because we're better. It's grace. And so I put here, it's provided for the New Testament Christian. Completeness is Christ is totally unlike anything provided by God for pre-Old Testament saints, Old Testament saints, or tribulation saints. We'll come back to this next time, and we'll finish this up. And then on page 2, we want to go through, we're not even close to this yet. We want to go through this completeness and show how this imputation of completeness is going to affect the carnal Christian? How does it affect the spiritual Christian? Because this imputation is still true even if you're carnal. This imputation is still true if you're spiritual. This imputation is still true if you're maturing, if you're departed and with the Lord, if you're under trials, if you're under temptation, if you are attacked by the sin nature, by Satan, by the world system. This completeness that God imputes affects all of these things. So that's, we got a long road to walk down here. Okay? So I'll quit. How long do I have now? 2 minutes? 3 minutes. I'm done. Father, thank you for this time together. We appreciate your word. We appreciate the fact that you determined to share these things with us. And we thank you that we have them. We can think about it. We can believe that which has to be believed when it regards a promise. We can utilize it when we're under trials. We can utilize this truth when we're under temptations. Just our whole Christian life and living under grace is affected by the fact that we are complete in Him. So we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Broken. It was broken.
That's a, I was saved and born again. I was a child.